the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you.
It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people incorporate their faith into their everyday lives. The program is underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
Yes, may the Lord's peace be with you. I'm Kent Blanford, sitting in today for Jim Ganley, who is on a well-deserved vacation. Alongside me here in the studio, MJ Crowder, our host. MJ, great to be working with you today.
This is a first, Kent. This is kind of nice.
First, yeah. Would you do us the honor of introducing our guest?
I will. Today on Faith in Action, we have Father Peter West, Vice President for Missions of Human Life International. Welcome, Father Peter.
Thank you, MJ. Thank you, Kent.
You know, this is pretty exciting for us because a few weeks ago, we had Eric Slaughter and I think Father Brian Imore, who were talking a little bit about Our Lady of Częstochowa. But actually, Father stopped by the studio a while back, and we had the opportunity to explore Our Lady of Częstochowa even more. So for our listeners that are not familiar with that, with the Madonna, we're going to talk about that today. But before we get into that, Father, would you do us the favor of telling us a little bit about you? So your family, where you grew up, and how you came to become a priest.
Okay, sure. I was born in New Jersey, in northern New Jersey, about 20 miles away from New York City. I grew up in a Catholic family. I have one brother, and he lives in Orlando, Florida. My mom died in 1985, and my dad still lives in New Jersey. I was raised in a Catholic family. We went to Mass each Sunday, and I went to Catholic schools. But during my teenage years, I kind of fell away from the church, especially when I went off to college. But after college, I think I was searching. And I had a pretty good background in the faith as a child. So I think I sense a sense of emptiness. And I was looking. So I went back. I read a book about Our Lady of Fatima.
Okay, right.
And I began praying the rosary. And after that, I went back to confession after being away for maybe about 7 or 8 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
So you were well into your 20s by this time.
Oh, I was in my mid-20s at this point.
Okay.
Yes. So, but as I came back stronger in my faith, and I overcame a lot of objections to the things that, you know, a lot of people have questions with. And I've searched out the answers that the church gave, and they satisfied me. And I was especially drawn into the pro-life movement. I was working with Mother Teresa's sisters in the South Bronx at one point. But one time I was in the back of my parish church, and I saw pictures of babies who had been aborted.
Oh.
And the numbers also staggered me. So I really felt like our nation was in a spiritual crisis, and it could be best addressed by a priest. So that is what eventually led me to think about perhaps I had a vocation to the priesthood.
You know what I found interesting about your story so far is you went from, and this always amazes me, but by the way, you went from not practicing your faith maybe for 6 to 8 years mm-hmm. to becoming a priest. So I heard one priest say once several years ago that God will pursue you until he gets you if he wants you.
That's true.
And it sounds like maybe that happened.
I guess so, yeah. It was really more of a kind of a gradual process over the years. But there was, you know, in my reading and debating with people, I really have come. I wouldn't have come back if I didn't accept all the teachings of the church. I could never understand how somebody could be in the church, but yet not accept the teachings of the church.
Yes, but we have so many of those, Father. I mean, we even have names for those, cafeteria Catholics, if you will.
Right.
But I find it curious, you went from not practicing to not just becoming a Catholic in the pew, but to becoming a priest.
Yes, yeah. You know, I was never attracted to evangelicalism or anything like that. I maybe explored some Eastern religions and so forth, but I never really, just out of curiosity. But the more I studied about the Catholic faith, and I remember one time also reading the Bible on Christmas night and opening up to John chapter 6 and just being astounded at the reality of the Eucharist. And it's like, there was no other way, it seemed to me, to interpret Christ's words except that they were literally true.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the passage, so you've cut me off guard.
Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life within you. And his disciples walked away from him at that point. Many of his disciples walked away and they couldn't understand. Right. You must eat my flesh, you must drink my blood in order to have eternal life.
Which was a reading we just had not too long ago, right around Easter time, a reading similar to that. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so you then became a priest, but you say that you had a particularly or an interest in life in.
That's correct. Yes.
So the issue of abortion was heavily on your mind.
It did.
On your
heart.
Yes.
Yes.
If you fast forward to today, the interesting thing is you are vice president for Missions of Human Life International. So obviously this is something that has stayed with you over the years.
Yes.
Your passion for human life from natural conception.
Yes, that's right. Yes. I was involved with the pro-life movement before I discovered my vocation to priesthood. So I've been involved in the pro-life movement through my seminary years as a young priest, and since 1998, working full-time in the pro-life movement.
Let's go up topic for one moment here. What would you say because I have heard this from, priests that are friends of mine that are slow to talk about life from the pulpit, because they say that there are so many Catholic women who have had abortions that they don't want to offend. So what would you say to a priest if he was sitting with us, and the reason that he doesn't want to talk about abortion or the pro-life movement so vehemently from the pulpit is because so many of his parishioners have gone through that in the past? What would you say to that?
Well, first of all, if he doesn't talk about it, there are going to be a lot more women in the pews who are going to be have had abortions and are going to be suffering the consequences of it. When a person has an abortion, it's like an impacted wound, and unless that it's dealt with, it is only going to fester and cause even greater harm. So by not talking about it, you're not helping them. You're not helping that woman who has had an abortion to find healing. It's only making the problem worse. It's festering underneath, and it's causing all sorts of other problems
I'm glad you said that, Father, because we have heard that over and over and over again from different guests that we've had on air.
Yeah.
But we don't hear that in the general public. We don't hear that on the airwaves. That's not something that's talked about. It's more the release, the freedom, the relief, if you will, from the burden. Okay, we're talking about fertility being a burden, and yet there's so many women who would literally kill to have a child for life. Okay, so I know there's so much that we need to talk about. Father, you are going to be a lovely guest today, I can see. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Father Peter West, Vice President for Missions of Human Life International, and he was in Indianapolis end of April, and you brought with you a replica of Our Lady of Częstochowa. So for our listeners that won't know what that is, who Our Lady of Częstochowa is, or the origins, sometimes referred to as the Black Madonna, tell us a little bit about Our Lady of Częstochowa, and why is she called sometimes the Black Madonna?
Okay, well, just briefly, Tradition holds that it was St. Luke the Evangelist who wrote the icon on a tabletop that came from the home of the Holy Family. The icon came to Poland in the year 1382. And she is called the Black Madonna. There are many theories about why she is dark. Some say it's the candles burning over the years that darken the image. Others that she was damaged by fire. Still others say she was Middle Eastern, had not naturally dark skin. But others say this is simply a style of iconography. And there are other Black Madonnas as well, in Russia, in the Middle East, in Italy, in Spain, in South America. So she's not the only one. So I tend to believe this is a style of iconography. Now, people ask about the characteristic scars on the Blessed Mother's face. This was done in the year 1430. By a group called the Hussites. They were followers of a renegade Czech priest by the name of Jan Hus. They did not believe in the veneration of icons. They first tried to steal the icon, and when they couldn't steal her, they tried to destroy her. So the story goes that the horses were pulling the wagon out of town, but they wouldn't budge. So the Hussites, in their rage, they threw the icon to the ground, broke her into three pieces, and they slashed her with a sword.
Right. And I understand that the scratches that are on her face, which are quite distinct, have been repaired over the years, but they have remained.
The attempts have been made to repair them over the years, but always seemingly miraculously they fail. And it seems that our Blessed Mother wants those scars there. But I tend to think that now they are more like trophies.
Exactly, exactly. Yes. We need to take a break and we'll be right back.
Faith in Action is brought to you in part by St. Vincent Health. If joint pain is preventing you from everyday activities, St. Vincent is offering free joint pain seminars during May. For information, visit medicineandmovement.com or call 317-338-CARE. That's 317-338-CARE. Check it out and find out more about controlling your joint pain by attending a free clinic during May.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Father Peter West, he's the Vice President for Missions of Human Life International. The first half, we talked a little bit about your vocation and your passion for human life and for the movement, the Right to Life, pro-life movement. And we just started to get into a little bit about Our Lady of Częstochowa and the icon. But what I don't understand is the connection between Our Lady of Częstochowa and Human Life International. What is the, because you obviously, and I do want you to get into some stories that you undoubtedly have, because you have taken the icon around to different facilities, have you not? Abortion facilities
throughout the
country.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so let's start with, what's her connection? Why Our Lady of Częstochowa instead of, for instance, Our Lady of Fatima, mm-hmm. or Our Lady of Guadalupe, mm-hmm. Which is kind of a natural Mexican, you know, life. So tell us.
Well, this idea necessarily did not originate with us. It originated when Ewa Kowalewska, who is our country director of Human Life International in Poland, wrote the icon and gave it as a gift to the Russian Orthodox pro-life movement. And it was the Russians who had an idea of what they call a peregrination or pilgrimage with an icon in defense of human life. So their idea was to take the icon from ocean to ocean.
Okay.
And to do so in a way as like the ancient Jews took the Ark of the Covenant into battle with them.
I see.
So we're bringing Our Lady into the battle with us for life.
Okay, so where did the icon originate then? This particular replica originated in Poland?
It was originated in Poland.
Okay.
It was completed in 2011, and it was given as a gift to the Russian Orthodox pro-life movement, who had then had the idea of taking it from Vladivostok on the Pacific coast of Russia all the way to the Atlantic coast of Portugal through 24 different countries.
Okay, and I think it's interesting to point out that you keep saying written, not painted.
Correct.
Okay. So what why is that? Although it is a painted, it's a painting, is it not, kind of?
Well, in the Eastern world, the icon is seen as the gospel written in picture form. So I deliberately use the word write an icon rather than paint an icon. In the West, an artist will write according to his own vision and imagination. In the East, an iconography comes from two words, meaning image and writing.
Okay.
And so they want to be faithful to a message. And so there are all sorts of strict rules and symbolism that go into an icon. Even the very shape of an icon, it's always going to be square or rectangular because it represents the world and its limits, but it's also the place where we encounter the divine. So that, like the blue in the icon is symbolic of Mary's humanity, the red symbolic of Christ's divinity, the gold is symbolic of eternity or heaven.
Okay. All right. So a little course in iconography.
Sure.
Here.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So started in Poland, went through 24 countries, you said?
Well, first the icon was touched to the original icon.
Okay.
So that's very important.
That remains in Poland, right? That remains in Poland or in Russia? Where is that now?
The original is in Częstochowa, Poland, okay. In the shrine of Jasna Góra. The shrine is called Jasna Góra, and the town is called Częstochowa.
Częstochowa. Okay.
So she was touched to the original, blessed by the Archbishop of Częstochowa, and I was there in January of 2012.
Okay.
And to read the act of entrustment of the civilization of life and love into the hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So three people were chosen to read the act, one in English, myself, and Ava in Polish, and a Russian woman read it also in Russian.
Okay. So then you received the icon.
So the icon was given to the Russian Orthodox.
Right.
And the Russians are the ones who took it all through Russia. Okay, so each country had its own coordinator. I've been the coordinator in the United States and Canada.
And
I've taken it so far to 27 states.
And you received it in, what was the receiving point on the East Coast?
Well, I picked Lech Kovalevsky up at Dulles Airport in Virginia.
Okay, all right.
So, but we had our welcoming ceremony for her at St. Clement's Island in Maryland.
St. Clement's Island in Maryland. Now, I imagine this is a pretty
big... Which is a historic place as well.
And the significance of St. Clement's Island?
It was the place where the English Catholics first arrived, establishing the colony of Maryland, and they came there seeking religious freedom, and the first Mass in the English-speaking colonies was celebrated on St. Clement's Island in Maryland on March 25th, 1634.
There you go. Listeners, if you're just now tuning in, our guest today, Father Peter West, he's Vice President of Missions of Life, Human Life International, and we're chatting about his visit to Indianapolis. You went to St. Luke's, St. Athanasius,
St. Athanasius Byzantine Catholic Church with Father Brian Iman.
Oh, yes, right. And then, and also out to 16th Street or the Planned Parenthood, the abortion clinic actually out
there. Yes, there were two places where I brought the icon and prayed in front of an abortion mill.
That had to be a significant, I mean, I imagine people who were driving by could see. So you held this up, you held the icon up, and people driving by, what kind of response did you get?
When we were in front of the other place, the clinic I forget where the first one was, but we had her facing toward the clinic. So
okay.
Maybe people driving by
did not
necessarily
see the image.
Right. Yes, yeah. So I think people have a curious kind of reaction to us. They're not quite sure exactly what we're doing, but we took her to a place, and there was a young pro-life activist who had been murdered recently, unfortunately.
Oh.
His name was Nathan Trapezzano.
Oh, yes, and, yes. That was a heartache for our city.
Yes,
terrible
yes.
heartache.
So we actually took the icon also to the place where he died.
On the parking lot there, the street where
yes,
he was shot.
Yeah, on the sidewalk there. And we prayed for Nathan, we prayed for his murderer, and we also prayed for his family.
That's powerful. I did not know that. That was that really touched our community. And although I didn't, of course, many of us in Indianapolis didn't know him before this, he's kind of become. I don't know quite how to refer to him, but a firestone or a point. I mean, he's been in the Criterion and the Catholic Moment have had articles about him, about how ferocious he was about his faith and devoted to his faith.
And he was very pro-life. And he was actually did some sidewalk counseling, trying to convince women not to go through with abortions.
Yeah, it's very right powerful. Very close
to where he died.
Wow. I'm glad to hear that. I think our listeners will be curious to hear that because it was a sad, senseless killing. But so you've obviously spent a time. So at the clinics, saying the rosary or what did you do? How much time did you spend at the clinics?
Well, we prayed the rosary.
Okay.
And for the most part, we prayed the rosary and we prayed a beautiful prayer for life as at the end of the encyclical, The Gospel of Life by Blessed Pope John Paul II, which is a prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary for the protection of all human life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death.
Now would be St. John Paul II.
That's correct.
John Paul. We have to get used to saying that. Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah, many people called him the Great, so I wonder if he'll be St. John Paul the Great. I don't know. Do you think that'll stick?
Yeah, it could be. There's a Pope John Paul the Great University in San Diego.
Already? Oh.
Well, yes. Oh, it's been there for a while.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they train people in the entertainment industry, actually, to form their own entertainment companies.
So. Well, I didn't know that. Learn something new every day. Yeah. Okay, so, Father, how long will this journey take? So I know that it's technically called From Ocean to Ocean, and it started at St. Clement's on the East Coast. And now it went to Indianapolis.
Before that, of course, she went from Vladivostok to Nazaré, Portugal, and now St. Clement's Island, and she's going to go to Astoria, Oregon.
Astoria, or I know right where that is. I have been in Astoria, Oregon.
So that is where Lewis and Clark reached the Pacific coast their expedition. So I thought that was another historic place.
All right, and then? And you, of course, will be with it the whole time.
I will. I plan to take a retreat when I'm in Washington State, but I want to go, and we're going to take it to Vancouver, and then down through the Pacific coastline, Washington, Oregon, to California, through San Francisco and the Central Valley, and then also Los Angeles down to San Diego, and then to Las Vegas.
All over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Now, at each place that you just mentioned, will you be doing the same thing, going to churches, going to an abortion clinic, praying the rosary?
We take her to Catholic churches, Orthodox churches. We take her to Byzantine Catholic churches and other churches in communion with Rome also, but we do take her to churches that are not in communion with Rome as well. So it's Russian Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox churches as well, because we share a common devotion to the Blessed Mother and respect for human life. But then also I take her to grammar schools, high schools, colleges, and places where they do abortions as well. Yes.
If you're just now
I
tuning in,
try to do that.
Listeners, our guest today, Father Peter West, we only have a couple minutes left. It always goes so fast. I hope that you're doing a blog along the way. Do you have some sort of blog or Facebook page or that you're keeping up with the stories that you've run across?
People can go to fromoceantoocean.org and they can see our reports that we're doing, trying to do each day.
Okay, so you are kind of keeping up a blog, if you will.
Recently, they hired an assistant to help me. I fell behind on reports, but now I'm doing better with them. We're doing better with them. Chris Morales is with me to assist me, and when I'm on retreat, he'll take the icon up to Vancouver, Canada.
Okay, so with just 2 minutes left, Father, what have we not covered that we should have covered?
Well, maybe some of the fruits of the pilgrimage, and when the icon was going through Russia, women were spontaneously confessing sins of past abortions. Hearts were being healed. Sinners were repenting. Our Lady of Częstochowa has become a patroness of the post-abortion healing movement. So people should know that. Also, on the feast of Our Lady of Częstochowa, when we had her in Germantown, Maryland, we had her before a place where Mr. Carhart does his late-term abortions, and three women changed their minds that day, decided not to go through with planned abortions.
That in itself is a miracle.
So seven lives so far have been saved, and one former abortion mill no longer doing abortions.
Oh, my word.
In Tallahassee, Florida.
You know, when you said seven lives have been saved, I think maybe we should even include the lives of the mothers, because sure. the damage that can be done that is irreparable.
Absolutely.
And they have no idea. Yes. So I think you're saving both at the same time.
Right.
Listeners, Father Peter West, our guest today, Vice President for Missions of Human Life International, and Our Lady of Częstochowa. I feel like they've both been our guests today. If you could, in closing, offer us your blessing, Father.
Okay, and through the intercession of Our Lady of Częstochowa, may the blessings of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit descend upon you and your families. May the Lord give you health and peace and happiness in this life and eternal happiness in the life to come. May he deepen your awareness of the sacredness of each and every human life and your devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Amen.
Amen. And may the Lord's peace be with you.
Yeah. With your spirit.
Lord's peace be with you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions. To suggest a guest or a topic for this program, call us at 317-870-8400.
May the Lord's peace be with you. May the Lord's peace be with you.